The message that I'm going to give today is how to find happiness, how to find true happiness. And I'm taking John chapter 7 verse 37. So if you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 7, 37 and 38. Here, Jesus is saying, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And here we see on the last day of the feast. And, you know, it's very interesting for us to know it is Jesus who said he is the water of life. He is a fountain of life. He is the source of our blessedness. When the children of Israel, when they were thirsty in the wilderness and there was no water to drink, out of the rock God brought streams of water to quench their thirst. Now Jesus is saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now let us see a little background of the statement of our beloved Savior. Jesus had gone up to Jerusalem to observe the Feast of the Tabernacles. That is one of the most distinguished Jewish festival seasons. And Jesus spoke of these words at the last day of the feast. You had to see the timing of the Lord here. And it also says it's the great day. And that means this was the most important, solemn, holy day of the worshippers. That is gathered, that they are gathered in the temple. And here, at the time of the morning sacrifice, one of the priests will bring water in a golden vessel drawn from the mountain at the foot in Shiloh. This mountain sprang at the bottom of the water springs from the bottom of the mountain which the temple was built. So the water was carried to the inner court of the temple and it is mingled with wine and then it was poured on the altar as a liberation, freedom. This performance of the ceremony is accomplished with instrumental music, vocal music, when a party of priests were blowing the trumpets and all other instrumental music and singers were singing in joyous singing their anthems and the words of prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3 says, with joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. And here they are coming, singing loud on this hot, steamy day. With joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. There is loudness here, as there's music, instrumental music, and people are singing very loud. And the court of the temple were crowded here with worshippers. Not only the Jews, but many worshippers from other parts, other areas. The performance of the ceremony is now just finished. The loud music just stopped. And now there is a silence among the multitude of worshippers. And suddenly, the silence is broken. Immediately, by a mysterious man from Nazareth, Jesus Christ. As he drew the attention of the multitudes, as he shouted with a loud voice and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Everybody, their focus was on the ceremony, where the water was brought from the bottom of the mountain to the temple, and with singing, with joyness, the ceremony. That's where the focus was. And suddenly, when that is finished, Jesus, he became the focus. He is the living water. He is the one where Isaiah was talking here. Ceremony behind the true worshippers. Ceremony behind the true happiness is the Savior of mankind, Jesus Christ. He is the fountain of the living water, and he is open to all. He is the source of true happiness. He is the source of joy. He is the source of peace. Whether you are poor or rich, you can have peace and joy in Christ Jesus, as your heart will flow rivers of living water. Now note, he said, if any man thirst. If any man thirst. So he's talking to the massive crowd here. I'm sure that was a sunny, hot, steamy, sizzling day. And Jesus is talking to the massive crowd, and he is saying, if any man thirst. That means the invitation of the gospel is not limited. It is not localized. He said, if any man thirst, the invitation is to all. The invitation is of the gospel is universal. To everybody, to all the world, to different ethnic groups. And the invitation is given freely. There are no strings attached. And there's no gimmicks here. As Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirst, come ye to the waters. He that have no money, come ye buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." We cannot attach money to the gospel. We cannot attach wealth to the gospel. The gospel is a free call for everybody. And Jesus is not inviting only the Jews, but for all the people who had come to this ceremony, this festival. But who would come? If any man thirst, but who are the thirsty? Only the thirsty will go there. And we are talking of a spiritual thirst here. Whoever who is hungry and thirsty after spiritual things, whoever who is thirsty after God, whoever who desires salvation, whoever who wants his sins to be pardoned, whoever wishes to have a holy happiness in the Lord is invited. A thirst is something to have an earnest desire to be delivered from the present condition. Children of Israel, I told you, they had a thirst. They had a physical thirst. And they had an earnest desire to be delivered from their present condition where they had no water. Otherwise, they will die. Here, in a spiritual sense, the present condition of man is what? He is depraved. He is lost. He is dead in God. But only the people who have a violent thirst for the Lord are invited. And they are the ones who are quickened by the Spirit of God. They are the one where the Spirit of God comes and gives light so they can see. And we call this in theology regeneration or born again. Once you are born again by the Spirit of God, then you will realize, oh, I have sinned against God. Oh, I am a sinner who have committed all kinds of sins against God. I am undone. I am vile. I am wicked. Oh, I need my sins to be pardoned by God. That's the time you have a thirst after the living God. Now, you might say generally there are a lot of people who are very religious. Yes, they are, but they are lost. Remember, the Samaritan woman seemed to be very religious. As she brought the subject of religion to Jesus Christ. When she said to Jesus in John chapter 4 verse 20, she said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." Here, basically, she brought the subject of worship, which is the most important part in religion, to Jesus Christ. And here, she is basically representing most of the religious people who talk about worship. They say, yes, we worship. It could be people worshiping Hindu gods, or worshiping Buddha, worshiping Allah through Muhammad, Islam, or maybe all these religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Mormonism, Roman Catholicism, Jehovah's Witnesses. They all have the subject of worship and different places to worship, and they focus on their teachings, not on the person. But only in Christianity we see Jesus is focusing on him. Then comes the teaching as a result of that. But Jesus blasted her doctrine by saying to her, "You worship what you do not know." See, you worship what you do not know. And there are so many people, you know, religious people who are very religious, but they worship what they don't know. And Jesus later on said in Jesus also told her, "Whoever who drinks of this water shall thirst again." You know, you can keep on drinking the other religious waters. You can keep on worshipping other religions, but you're never ever satisfied. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13, it says here, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out of cisterns for themselves broken cisterns that cannot hold no water." And here people, they cut and dug other wells, other cisterns that cannot have no water. Humanism teaches that people are basically good, and it is the environment and upbringing makes people corrupt. If this is true, we see the scandals, even among the FBI agents, judges, high-ranking government officials, good people who live in good neighborhoods sometimes, and suddenly they are caught. Maybe raping a little girl, and the neighbors are surprised as this man, they thought he was a good man. And how many times people live outwardly to show they have a good behavior, but inwardly people are corrupt. Their motives, their thoughts, inwardly, secret sins being committed daily. And we sin against God in thought, in mind, and in words daily. But in relationship to the infinite, infinite, holy God, how good is man? We see man from a horizontally as we compare to one another, to we compare to our neighbors, or even to Hitler, and say, I'm not that bad, because we are good comparing to our neighbors. But remember the prophet Isaiah, he was the best prophet during that time. He was the man of God. But when he saw the holy God, when he saw the holy almighty God, what did Isaiah say? He said, woe unto me. In Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5, he said, woe unto me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When we speak of man's depravity, we mean man's natural condition, his fallen Adamic nature, his inherited sin. If not for God's restraining grace, we all can become like Hitler. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And here we see there is only one direction. You know, how many people say, oh, you know what? I believe that all religions are the same. But there are different directions to God. But Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come. He did not say, let him come to Buddha, let him come to Muhammad, let him come to all these millions of Hindu gods, let him go to the Watchtower, the Jehovah's Witnesses, or Mormonism. Pick your own religion and go. There are so many directions to God. No, Jesus did not say that. Either people are lying or Jesus is lying. And I believe that my beloved Savior is telling the truth, because nobody died on the cross for me, only the Lord Jesus Christ. And he rose from the dead, so I know he is telling the truth. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. There is one direction, and that direction points to one person, Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. It is not through Buddha, not through millions of Hindu gods, not through Muhammad, not through the Pope, not through Mary, not the angels, not the dead saints, not through Watchtower of Jehovah's Witnesses, not through the Latter-day Saints of Mormonism. It is not through any other door, but there is only one door open to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who paid the price for our sins. He is the only one who came from heaven to save ungodly sinners. As Jesus said, John 10 verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God that is going to come. Because people have sinned, and if you have sinned, you deserve punishment. Even on this earth, if you have committed a crime, you are brought to the judge, and the judge, a righteous judge, will punish you. How much more we have committed crimes to the universal judge, the holy judge, the righteous judge of the universe, and he will not compromise sin. And Jesus is the only way to be saved. He is the only Savior. He is an accomplished Savior. He accomplished all the works of a Savior by fulfilling all of the law that we have broken. And He took the punishment of the believing sinners on the cross, and the guilt and the sin was upon Him. He is God in human flesh. God can never suffer. But Jesus suffered because He is fully God, and also He suffered as a man. He is fully man and fully God. He represented man. As man, He suffered. As a man, He suffered the death of the crucifixion because all the sins were poured upon Him. All the fullness of God dwelt in bodily form. He has all the merit, the power, the authority, the knowledge, the wisdom, kindness, and love, and long-suffering, because He's a perfect Savior. He's a fountain of life. If a man drinks of this living water, he shall never thirst again. The well of living water is Jesus Christ. This well is never shut, never sealed, always flowing. The access to Jesus is always there because He is alive. All the other religious leaders are dead, but Jesus is alive. Only a living Savior can forgive your sins. Only a living Savior can forgive you and give you righteousness so you can enter heaven. And if you are listening today, if you do not know Jesus Christ, and I pray that you will come to know the Lord Jesus, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will open your heart, that you will come from your sin, no matter what kind of sin you're in, how deeply you're involved in sin, Jesus can break that bondage. You may be a sin, you may be a slave to sin and obedience to sin, but Jesus can break that bondage, and now you can have a cheerful obedience to God through Jesus Christ. And I pray and ask that you would fall down at your knees and come to the foot of Christ and cry unto God and say, God, I am a sinner. I am unworthy. I have been doing all these secret sins. I have been a hypocrite in the church. And I have been playing the games and doing, I have been fooling people all this time. But inside of me, I know I am truly a sinner. If I die today, I may not go to heaven. So, and if you are a truly sinner, fall at the feet of Jesus, fall at the foot of the cross, and cry unto Him, and He will forgive you, He will pardon you, and He will give you true life, He will give you true happiness, as He, you can come to the living waters and to the fountain of life. Oh, when you come to the fountain of life, no matter what deep your sins are, in the ocean of Christ, there is forgiveness for all, for anybody who comes.